gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well,
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
Yes. Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Mm. Yes! Oh. Yes!
Oh, I'm sorry. Good morning, Hal Sparks.
Hiya. I don't know if anything can be sexy after a Mitt Romney win in New Hampshire. Both of the, you know what I mean? That's just kind of got the,
yeah,
the, all the lightning and excitement of, that you, oh, just
sizzle.
That you could marshal.
Sure.
Oh,
that was completely expected, wasn't it? What's the word I'm looking for? Completely expected.
A tepid victory for Mitt Romney.
Well, no, yeah, Debbie Wasserman Schultz was saying anything less than 50% is not really, you know, a huge, I mean, considering he was governor of Massachusetts and...
Well, and he has a house in New Hampshire.
And he summers there.
And not Romney...
As many rich people use that as a verb.
Well, for the record, not Romney did win by over 50%.
Yes.
I mean, not Romney did very well
in
the New Hampshire primary. As a matter of fact, they should actually have, like, a bolt in the neck version of Mitt Romney, you know, that they just run as not Romney. You know what I mean? N-A-U-G-H-U.
Just build one. Just build a not Romney that's everything you were
exactly.
hoping for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's got all, you know, it's just this, you know, it's got the religious conservative lack of heart of Rick Santorum and kind of a
all the homophobia of Rick Santorum.
Yeah, it's kind of like
the racism of
Rick Perry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Ron Paul.
Ron Paul's hands and feet, because that's his ground game. And then
Lisa said yesterday, "Oh, honey, he's been listening to you. His suit looks like it fits better today."
Ron, oh, that's good. He's getting Well, we know his.
Hi, Ron.
We
Thanks
know some
for
of
listening.
His supporters listen to the show by how angry they get when you dare actually say, you know, some of what he's saying is as crazy as anything Michelle
Not
Bachman
like
would
lifetime.
Say.
I haven't been called a C word that much, but just, you know, it's just the condensed version of it.
Right, exactly.
It's many times repeatedly.
Well, they're more comfortable with the word than the other Republican candidates' followers.
Yeah.
I think that's all. And that I think that shows a level of hipness on their part. It's probably because they, you know, listen to a lot of Doug Stanhope and are cool with it.
Yeah. I don't, well, that's once again, of course, in case you tuned in, Mitt Romney, 39% winning the New Hampshire primary, Ron Paul second at 23%. Mm-hmm. But I still...
And John Huntsman third.
Yes, John Huntsman third.
16%.
Yeah. I still don't get the Ron Paul thing. I know we've talked about this, and it's just because... We keep ignoring him, but that's because half of his views are completely crazy.
Right.
I get the anti-war thing. That's why, you know, many of us liberals are like, yes, we're with him on that. And then you go, but he's for destroying Social Security and Medicare and everything.
I can't go with you there, dude.
Yeah.
I can't go that far.
Yeah.
You have the freedom to starve to death or be poisoned by food.
Civil Rights Act. Everything is apparently unconstitutional. Everything must go. Just complete. I mean, that's why this must be an atypical year that Ron Paul has even gotten this far.
Fire departments. Who needs fire departments?
Leaving it up to the states.
If burn, women, baby, burn.
If Wisconsin wants women to vote, it'll let them vote. Where's the mystery?
Yeah, I think, Jim, as you said, I think that probably signal lights will be unconstitutional when Ron Paul is...
Traffic laws.
Go! Just figure it out! Go!
Don't be oppressed by the jackboot of regulation. Just drive right through the red light. It's your right as an American.
Texting while driving. Who cares? It's America! Go!
There's a certain point where freedom is more important than getting where you're going.
Yeah. That's what he said last night. This was a victory for liberty. I'm like,
you have the freedom to die in a fiery car crash.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that means the freedom of black people to go be black outside and not at the lunch counter next to you.
Right.
And get their secondhand blackness all over you.
His idea is that there's no way there would be a business would stay in business very long if they acted like that.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Harumph,
in fact.
I have the freedom to go out of business.
I've been all over this country, and I'm here to tell you, there's a bunch of them that would.
Yeah. By the way, let me take a moment to say, Hal Sparks rocked Portland Saturday night. Rocked it. Rocked it. Here's the thing. You came in with bruises all over you, but that's because you had a fight scene on a professional television show in which you star. I came back with bruises just self-inflicted from the Portland show.
That's true.
But I hit myself, I think, in the chin with the microphone, doing probably some sort of oral sex-related joke,
yeah,
I'm guessing.
I'm going
with a phallus-oriented reference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'd be safe there.
Considering the lack of alternative vagina and situation in the Republican field these days, considering the dropout.
It is vagina challenge, the Republican field absolutely. Now. Thank you for noticing
they're,
that.
They're now
totally
melanin
vagina
challenged.
Free.
They're now back to being melanin challenged after the loss of Herman Cain, and they're vagina challenged.
Yeah, you were saying that they were exposed now. It's like, oh, all right, we are a bunch of
white
men.
That's the
other thing, is that Ron Paul's 1,000 on top of... most of his views being completely crazy.
Well, yeah, you can't accuse them of being ageist,
Yeah.
Like I said, this entire field is like a roll of lifesavers where you're just hoping for pineapple and it's all lime. It's just all you're doing. Voters seem to be doing that. Green, but maybe it'll taste like cherry. Nope, that's another lime.
Or translucent. Translucent white. What was the deal with that flavor? What was that?
Yeah, what was it? It's nothing.
It's a Lucite flavor.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. That was actually a spacer.
Linoleum flavor.
Slow you down. it's all dead
filler. It's a palate cleanser. No, it's a sorbet.
It's by weight, not volume.
And they actually, those are, that's to stabilize a table at a restaurant.
There's
certain lifesavers they put in there just to help you stay. You're like,
there's only one thing to do to get back to normal now, and that's Barack Obama singing board in this one.
I also took a trip out to California last week where I held some productive bilateral talks with your leader, Lady Gaga.
All the breeds on the interwebs.
My mama told me when I was young, we are all born superstars. She rolled my hair and put my lipstick in the glass of her ball. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, because we made you perfect, baby. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go. Fun. Listen to me when I say... beautiful in my way, cause I make no mistakes. I'm a right baby. I was born this way. Don't hide yourself and regret. Just love yourself and yourself. I'm a right baby. I was born this way.
Wow. Hope he didn't cut that with a razor-bladed tape.
Yes. Yikes.
He has no fingers left.
It's a video, that goes with it. It's hilarious. Yeah, it's on my Facebook page. By the way, speaking of which, you saw the sexy liberal rap, Hal Sparks, by the new official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show, Macaron?
Yes.
Macaroni.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Important distinction.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Uh-huh. We should post that again in case people didn't see it yesterday. Hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And apparently you get more, what was it? More
booty than Pootie Tang.
Who knew? Mm. Who knew?
Yeah, yeah.
Who knew?
Well, considering Pootie Tang is a fictional character, I think we can stand by that assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I insist.
All right. Mittens last night in New Hampshire.
We do remember when Barack Obama came to New Hampshire 4 years ago. He promised to bring people together. He promised to change the broken system in Washington. He promised to improve our nation. Mm-hmm. Those were the days of lofty promises made by a hopeful candidate.
Uh-huh. And fulfilled.
Today we're faced with the disappointing record of a failed president.
Really? No, not really.
All right. Well, nice.
Okay. I mean, it's biggest change to healthcare in this country in 70 years. We're actually getting out of Iraq. We're going out of Afghanistan next year. Mm-hmm. Everything's on track, kind of the way you said it.
Mm-hmm.
Consumer financial. Protections in place.
Yes. And the new Reuters poll shows Obama leading Romney 48% to 43%. I don't even think the full Bain Capital film is out yet, is it?
No.
Only 3 minutes of it. Which, by the way, Debbie Wasserman Schultz called him a job cremator.
Yeah.
Go, Debbie! It's your birthday!
Yeah, that was genius.
That's funny. funny and true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate when we were mentioning this the other day, how somebody was talking about mentioning, oh, it's like the Swift Boat ad. No, the Swift Boat ad was a bunch of lies. Well, this is powerful because it's all true.
Right.
That's not the point. The point, it makes them look bad. That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Rami's,
it's like the Swift Boat ads in that.
Truth is overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, the thing is, I mean, it is hilarious to have Republicans making this point as eloquently or more eloquently than Democrats when, you know, Romney's campaign's pushing back now going, oh, they're trying to make capitalism look like a bad thing. No, vulture capitalism.
Yeah, exactly.
No, the kind of capitalism that you practice, which is looting, essentially. Mm-hmm. So, it's just going to get better and better.
Vultures picket carcasses.
Yes.
That's exactly what he did.
No, you know what they're saying? Oh, it's companies that were going bankrupt anyway. No. No.
Well, the interesting thing is
they were going to jump off the cliff.
I just tapped them. I started looking into, you know, what would, you know, because Mitt Romney's been talking a lot about, you know, jobs and the fact that if Obama gets reelected, you won't have a job, and if he does, you will. And if he's president, Ron won't have a nuclear weapon, but if Obama, they will. There's kind of in these abstract, bizarro world, goofy terms. And I'm trying to think what his actual foreign policy is. And I think what he really thinks he can do is buy Iran and fire everybody.
Yeah, there you go.
That's actually Mitt Romney's foreign policy.
He likes it. I don't know if you've heard the sound clip. We won't play it because that would be out of context and not fair.
I like being able to fire people.
I'm sorry. Say again?
I like being able to fire people.
Oh, okay. Right. I'm sorry.
That was just a warning to his campaign staff if he lost New Hampshire,
I
like being able to fire people.
Well, we were saying, too, by the way, if he, you know, South Carolina is winner take all, so if he doesn't win, this all gets erased anyway.
Exactly.
So it ain't over. Ain't over yet.
Yeah, so who is it then? If, you know, if somebody's going to carry off with this, if it's Ron Paul, it's a total game changer.
Oh, it's awesome. That'd be awesome. Oh. We'll talk about all that next. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back. We're off to a rollicking Happy Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow, yowza. This just in from Roland, Sexy Liberal Tour Director.
Mm-hmm.
We just got the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Album Volume 1 starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang.
Yes.
Number one. Billboard, iTunes, Amazon, whatever.
Yeah.
999% increase in sales in Portland just over the weekend. Because we just played Portland Saturday night.
Yeah.
And it was interesting at the meet and grope. I was saying, how often do you hear this? A couple of people asked me, is this bit of Hal's or John's or whatever on the album? And they said, I couldn't hear it. People were laughing too hard. So now I want to
buy it, right?
The album. And I was saying, I said, you know, I want to hear the T-Rex bit because I'm off stage and people are laughing. I can't hear all the words. So I'm going to buy the album. Maybe that's why the sales shot up.
There you go.
Because I was, So there.
Yeah. And I love that all of Herman Cain's supporters in Portland decided to buy a copy.
Yes, 999.
999 crowd.
Up next, ladies and gentlemen.
Philadelphia, we progressives hold these truths to be self-evident, that all sexy liberals are created equal, and that we are endowed by the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, laughter, and the pursuit of silliness. On February 4th, 2012, the comedy tour that is taking the country by storm will perform live at the Merriam Theater, featuring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the tastiest of all tasty cakes, Stephanie Miller.
Yummy!
Tickets are available online at KimmelCenter.org or by calling 215-893-1999.
999.
Philadelphia, come show your favorite progressives some of your brotherly love. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on February 4th at the Merriam Theater. Philly, these liberals will be sure to ring your Liberty Bell.
Thank you, Philadelphia.
Yes, indeed. All right. Linwood. Oh, and by the way, and we do different, you know, new material in every city. Because
yeah,
for God's sakes, sometimes I have to wait till the day of because Rick Santorum has had time to say 16 stupider things.
Right.
when the middle of the week began.
All but one bit in Portland was I completely improvised.
Yeah.
Like my whole set was improv.
Yeah, we do local stuff. We do new topical stuff. So, yeah.
That's the great thing about the tour. You can see it twice and not see the same material.
We have Steph heads. We have, the people there that was like, I think six. They're sixth.
Yeah.
Sixth show. Yep. All right. Linwood, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Linwood.
Hey, what's going on, Stephanie? It's your very first time. I always listen to your show in the morning. That's my very first time I called. You know, I'm getting a little sick and tired of this whole Republican primary thing. We already know who's a nominee. I don't know. This is a soap opera on steroids. You know, not once last night did Governor Romney talk about, you know, the middle class or the poor. He didn't talk about what kind of job.
What? I'm sorry. Representative of the Romney campaign?
I don't recognize that word.
I'd like you to stay on topic.
The working class or, you know.
Excuse me, sir. He has a summer house in New Hampshire. How do you think he does not understand your concerns? Where do you summer, for instance?
Yeah, what is the working class going to work on if not my summer home? I mean, really.
I mean, to be all jokes aside, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be come on stage straight out the gate. Mm-hmm. This guy is a multi-billionaire. Mm-hmm. He's loaded with money. And the only reason that the country, I'm going to say a selective few, want this man, let's be honest, the country wants a wealthy man in the White House because they can feel like, okay, well, hey, we put a wealthy man in the White House, he can turn the economy around with what? More jobs at Sports Authority, burgers at McDonald's? Come on, I mean, what kind of jobs are you talking about bringing to America?
That's right. And as you said, jobs that have to do with he summers or where he antiques. He probably needs someone to help carry his antiques.
Sure. You know what they need is a chicken in every pot kind of thing that he can run on, kind of like a waiter at every table or a janitor at every
John. Of all the, obviously, we've had a lot of rich guys be president, but he's like Richie Rich. He's like central casting for
a little knife for every pate de foie gras.
Yeah, right.
I
was somewhere and there was a table of wealthy people, and one of them actually used the word typhoon as a
verb.
Yes. Where are we typhooning this year? We were in the Panama Canal last year. Where are you all typhooning? I was like, oh my God, really? I thought summering and antiquing was bad enough.
Where are you drowning this year? That's what I want to know.
My friend and I for years have used that as a running joke. Where are we typhooning? Dear God.
We've
practically. They all had yachts, so I guess that's a big thing in the yachting community, where one typhoons everywhere. Mm. Marcella in Seattle. Hi, Marcella.
Hey, Stephanie. Hi, you guys.
Good.
Listen, I got to tell you my Ron Paul fantasy, okay?
Oh, dear.
He becomes a third-party candidate, right?
Because,
yes.
You know, yes.
And,
it's the perfect storm this year for Republicans.
And the Sunday morning shows, I think they're afraid of him because they were saying, oh, if Ron Paul becomes a third-party candidate, all the young Obama supporters are going to support him. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, they are running scared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They really
of course.
Are. Because, you know, exactly 20 years ago, it was Ross Perot, same initials.
Yes.
Exactly 100 years ago, it was
same
President
size,
Roosevelt,
actually.
Same
Marcella, you know, you're absolutely right. That reference I just made, the Republican Party, the face of the Republican Party this year is George Clooney in Perfect Storm, right before he realizes he's...
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Just that, boy.
This can I finish? Can I finish?
Yeah.
Can I get me now?
Can I finish?
How you like me now?
We should get Bex to come in and do... Ron Paul as...
Here's the deal.
Bex! Oh, she's screaming.
She's busy
the call.
Doing working.
All right, fine.
After the break.
Yeah, after the break, exactly. She's doing something, answering phones.
Well, I love, you know, the biggest problem that Ron Paul seems to have across the board, and this is kind of addressing what she was saying, is that everybody's saying his biggest problem in the debates, he sounds too much like a Democrat.
Yeah, exactly.
His advisors are telling him.
He needs another Admiral Stockdale to make him look young.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
What? And why am I here? Who am I?
29 minutes after the hour. Next, we return to David Bender on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I am out here for you.
You don't know what it's like to be me out here for you. It is an up at dawn, pride-swallowing siege that I will never fully tell you about, okay?
That is weird. How do you get high-level Scientology audio like that? Don't they keep that?
It is
that's
the...
one of his big speeches, right?
Yeah,
now.
Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks, 34 minutes after the hour. But it's post-primary day, and that means it's political strategist extraordinaire David Bender time. Good morning, David Bender.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller. Thou shalt not speak ill of a fellow Republican.
Right.
Yeah, what happened to that? Reagan is spinning like on a rotisserie.
Well, for the record, he's not. It's his super PAC who he has no contact with.
He's just drawing contrast, David Bender.
Making movies and not speaking at all.
He's not going negative.
Newt doesn't know anything about his super PAC, which is funded by a $5 million donation from Sheldon Adelson in Nevada, which, you know, he knows nothing about.
No.
Probably
no.
Never even met Adelson, I would guess. Probably
no.
Didn't
right.
even know him.
This isn't the first time that Newt Gingrich has gotten off on a technicality.
Yeah. isn't this the new game? I have no idea. I have no coordination
with
my PAC. Like, John Huntsman's is run by his daddy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't ever see him. I don't speak to him. I don't know what.
John Huntsman's daddy, who is worth over $1 billion, is only putting $50,000 into the South Carolina effort. Now, doesn't that sound like, you know, you didn't get your allowance this week?
Daddy issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is not attractive. How do you explain that? Well, Dad really supports me. He's putting $50K.
It's just what he found in his couch.
Mm-hmm.
So what, David Benda, what do you think of not surprising, really, right? The New Hampshire.
Well, a little bit surprising for a couple of things. One is that Huntsman was coming on strong, but not strong enough to pass Ron Paul. That basically eliminates him. That was his shot. He same as Michelle Bachmann had moved to New Hampshire. Huntsman had moved. I'm sorry, to Iowa.
Yeah.
Huntsman had moved to New Hampshire. Not winning there, he says, you know, he's got, his speech was he had a ticket to ride. He keeps making these, you know, the 70s music references.
Yeah.
Too, but
60s.
Well, that's because he was in a band called Wizard.
Excellent.
Thanks.
There we go.
Wizard.
Right.
Excellent.
Dude.
Stop saying it. Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
All I can tell you is that right now, the only one who can stop Mitt Romney is Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Newt Gingrich is going to do everything he can. He is going to do, actually, you know where this 11th commandment stuff started? It started with your father's campaign. It started with the quote-unquote liberal Republican attacks on Barry Goldwater.
Right.
And Reagan, when he ran, said, you know, he'd been a big supporter of Goldwater Miller, and he said, you know, that should never happen again. Republicans shouldn't destroy each other. So he created his 11th commandment, and it worked for him up until he ran against Gerald Ford. And if you want to really understand where we are today, Ronald Reagan lost Iowa and New Hampshire. Know how they keep talking about how no Republican has ever done that? Well, Ronald Reagan, Gerald Ford won Iowa and New Hampshire. He was the last one before Mitt Romney. He was president. And it wasn't until they got to North Carolina that Ronald Reagan somehow conveniently forgot about the 11th Commandment and went after, with Jesse Helms' help, after Gerald Ford, and that's when he started winning, and he almost won the nomination.
Well, David, we've been talking about this, and you've been, you know, seeing political attacks for a long time, but boy, it seems like the Bain stuff is really landing some blows. What do you think?
It is. It plainly is, and it is what they're most concerned about, which is why actually it's backfiring now. Support that Newt might have had, and Mitt's support ticked up in the last few days in New Hampshire, because there is this sense of we're going to destroy our nominee if we keep going. They went at it too late. Had they done this 3 months ago, 4 months ago, they might have weakened Romney, but they're doing it now in the middle of the campaign in desperation, and it smells that way. So it's not enough to stop him from the nomination. There's no question they're writing ads that will play in the fall.
Yeah, well, exactly. We can save some money and some writers, can't we?
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying. You know, that's obviously, I think we had David Schuster and a couple other people yesterday who were saying it was too late for New Hampshire, but I'm wondering if it's going to hurt him in South Carolina, which is also a much more conservative state than New Hampshire, right?
It is, and there's a lot of unemployment there. There are closed textile mills. There are places where the Bain message should have traction. The problem is they're all staying in. They're all going to divide up their fraction of the vote. Jim DeMint, who would be the Jesse Helms of this cycle to try and save, say, Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum, Jim DeMint endorsed Mitt Romney 4 years ago.
Mm.
So I wouldn't bank on the fact that there's going to be a South Carolina miracle for the conservatives. They are divided.
Although,
they stay divided.
Well, although, you know, of all people, Rick Perry was the one that pointed out, you know, people lost jobs in South Carolina because of Bain Capital. I'm just wondering if it may resonate more by the time he gets there.
It'll resonate for a while, and the problem is if they could rally, if between now and it's 11 days away, if between now and then 10 days, they were to rally around one candidate, Santorum and Perry were to get out and support Newt, there'd be a shot. The dial testing last night for voters in South Carolina, Republican conservative voters, went off the charts when Newt was talking. So he's got a constituency there, but if it stays divided, Mitt Romney wins that primary and wins the nomination.
Well, also it borders his home state of Georgia. Is that going to be a pivotal at all?
Not really. Mm-hmm. It's not so much the geography. It is right now. It's the number of candidates. Mitt Romney's got the money. He's already up and running in Florida. He's put $3 million into ads, including Spanish language ads spoken by his son. They're ready for the long haul, and you can't beat somebody with too many people, and that's the problem the Republican field has. They won't drop out.
Right.
Yeah, it splinters almost every time. Were you at all, was there anything you were surprised about last night?
That I, was not watching a sporting event.
Screaming at the television. Because it was a passionless win, for Romney. And I think that's going to be indicative. That more than anything is who Romney is actually running against, is his who cares reflex,
right.
From people. It's just the lack of
right.
giving a crap about Mitt Romney.
Well, and David, you've advised a lot of candidates. He's just so awkward and inauthentic. Is there a way to fix that?
Yeah. He is stiff. And he's never, you can watch his arms move. You guys were talking earlier about the not Romney should be a guy with a bolt in his neck.
Yeah. Yes.
That is Mitt Romney.
Right.
Yeah.
That's who he is. He is completely manufactured. This is not a guy who has what his father had, actually, which George Romney had, but the common touch. So what you see out there is someone who is completely programmed. He's not good at doing this.
Right. Yeah. Well, but that's why he, like you say, the only person that can beat Mitt Romney is Mitt Romney when he says things like, I like to fire people, and, oh, I know what it's like to be afraid to get a pink slip, stuff that just ring false every time, right?
Well, and funny about pink slips, because his campaign is now denying that he said when he ran for governor that there was a pink flyer that the campaign in Massachusetts was handing out, touting his support for equal rights for gay Americans.
Mm.
Then they got someone
his
to say
what?
Well, the campaign never
right.
put it out, mm-hmm. and it turns out, of course, it did. It was just official. So he even denies hard evidence in front of him because he has flip flopped. He makes John Kerry look like the most single minded, consistent politician in history.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and honestly, you're right. I mean, John Kerry, look at what they made of that, and he sort of misspoke kind of one time.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, Mitt Romney, has just an unparalleled record of flip flopping, even for a politician, right?
Right. He does, and what we need to start looking at is, since it seems plain, unless barring a miracle, barring some meltdown that happens over the next 10 days, Romney wins the nomination, he'll win it early, he'll have time to conserve resources, and the real guessing game now is how does he create that passion? And that means he's got to pick a running mate I'm not saying Sarah Palin in terms of...
No, he needs to pick like Shakira, I think, in order to get any...
Absolutely right.
Electricity in his campaign.
That's been focus group, by the way.
Yeah, you've got to have... Right. It's like swivelly hips. There's got to be something so exciting on the other side of the ticket that, yeah.
But what he's going to need is someone who is going to turn out that base, get people really fired up, and who he or she is... I don't know, but that's going to be the interesting guessing game because they're going to have to – what we saw yesterday, if there's any telling number when you dig down into the vote turnout, Republicans were not motivated to turn out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was not David, a 2010 turnout.
What's his biggest vulnerability in the general? Is it his the Bain Capital stuff, the flip-flopping, just or the general, inauthenticity?
I think it is the general inauthenticity, the fact that people do not relate or connect to him.
Yeah.
So the only question will be, is being the anti-Obama enough? And then it is one-on-one, unless Ron Paul or somebody else runs the third party, which I've continued to say. There's a vehicle for this online nominating process, which is getting on all 50 state ballots. And if somebody runs third party, this whole thing can be upended.
Yeah.
And we'll know that by the summer, whether or not that's possible. But somebody could use that vehicle. And both of these candidates, both the president and Mitt Romney, are vulnerable to someone who seems to be coming in as a genuine independent. Because people hate both parties.
You think Huntsman might do that?
Not unless his father writes a bigger check.
But Ron Paul is who you're implying, right?
Ron Paul is someone who might. Now, Ron Paul seems to think that if he does that, he would destroy his son's future in the Republican Party.
Mm.
And I that may be what keeps him back.
Or his son's innate weirdness may do that itself. Or his unpleasant personality.
Ron Paul's actually, or the squirrel could ruin Rand Paul.
Yes, the squirrel in his head could also.
Ron Paul's campaign basically released a press release essentially calling for everyone but Romney to drop out of the race to make him the official, not Romney. To form into some
maybe
sort of
Rand Paul could run reconstitute the old Bull Moose Party, so then that would be Bull Moose and Squirrel could be his campaign. Why not?
Natasha, that's very bad mouth of you. The truth is, Ron Paul actually gave a fairly decent speech last night. Mm-hmm. He's a likable guy.
Except for the nibbling part. Nipping at your heels? Which
nibbling.
But he said nibbling, which is a little pervy.
It's a little foot fetishy. Yeah.
It's also rat-like.
Yeah.
And it brings us back to Willard.
Yeah.
Right.
I still think an independent run benefits President Obama, and I say preemptively a T and then a he. So we'll see what happens there. But what about... What about Trump? That could be huge, Huge.
Huge.
Yeah, Palin hasn't ruled out entering the race, which is just,
You saw what she said about Todd, though. Todd's endorsement of
Gingrich.
She said Todd went rogue.
Oh, isn't that cute? It's a little running family joke. Ha, ha, ha. Okay.
The daughter moved home, so it can't be a happy time for the Palin family.
No. Mm. Just a lot of yelling. Todd! Mom, shut up in that Fox studio! Okay. David Bender, love you. Talk to you after South Carolina.
Yes.
All right, bye, honey. Talk to you now. When is South Carolina? When is that?
2 weeks.
All right. 47 minutes after the hour. Back hump days. Wow. I'm Stephen.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Is like a rock'em sock'em robot. He's so cute.
Well, Tom, I got a limited frame space, so I got to get the comedy all crammed into one. Yeah.
We got the by now boilerplate call yesterday
from
a guy saying we went to Sex with Oprah show. My wife's in love with Hal Spark. I'm like, whatever.
Whatever.
Whose isn't?
You can generically say that, but that's because you believe that all human beings are like one big lump group. Oh, and I believe
they're all
in
a big lump group that have a crush on you.
Well, there's a mask. Sure. I mean, right. to the naked eye, it would seem like a zombie attack.
Mm-hmm.
Just a horde of people. But
yeah.
In that hoarder.
Yeah, the meet and greet is just a...
deserve individual attention.
House sparks crush zombies. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Tiki in North Carolina. Hey, Tiki, welcome.
Hi, sexy liberals. How
Hello.
Are you?
Hello.
I was thinking about that comment earlier about Ron Paul in the restaurant.
Yes.
I have my husband and I, both black. We went to... yes, I know. We
went professionally?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Okay. Right. It's my full-time job. we went to a restaurant in Greenville, South Carolina, where it was truly packed. We were the only people of color in the whole place. And when we got our food, we were like, oh, God, this food is terrible. Why is this place packed? And I think we realized it was just our food.
Oh, wow.
Coming back.
Why is it what did you say?
Why is the place packed? Why were there so many people there if this restaurant is so awful? Well, guess what? All the food was fine except theirs.
A line out the door.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Mm.
Interesting. Yeah, listen, I feel your pain. Chris and I, we both go to the pho here. We love the pho. You know the Vietnamese?
Pho.
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 It's Vietnamese soup, pho. And I'm always the only round eye in there.
Yeah,
me too.
I feel the pain. All right. Thank you.
Interestingly enough, it was probably part of the ambiance they're selling is that not only do you get to eat this food, but you can also watch as they serve bad food to black people.
Yeah.
It's a floor show down
there. Exactly.
That's what if it's all white? They only have, like, grits, cream of wheat.
It's the line around the block.
Apparently that's David Byrne is a big fan of Vietnamese food.
All right.
See what happened there? See what he did there?
Really? Really?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Tony in L.A. Hey, Tony.
Hey there, sweet girl.
Hello.
Al Sparks. It's good to have you back. How you doing?
Now, listen, great.
Good. The Norquist Coke crime family made Mittens sign their little contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that contract makes all these Republicans swear an oath to demolish the federal government.
Right.
Now, Mittens is a salvage contractor. Let's use a metaphor. He is a deconstructor. I'm an insurance adjuster. A place burns down. I'm going to call in somebody to tear this place down. Mm-hmm. Now he's telling you that he's a constructor. He actually builds stuff. And that's, his argument is now completely, so I'm presenting this to you, almost logical one, because his argument that he is a job creator is now absolutely devoid of any credibility whatsoever.
Well, I'm a job creator, my friend, in India.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is what, this is how he framed it last night.
President Obama wants to put free enterprise on trial.
No.
And in the last few days, we've seen some desperate Republicans join forces with him.
Mm. Yes. No. Not free enterprise.
What?
He's talking about the Bain stuff. And it's, you can't run from that
record.
I'm
free to destroy companies and put people out of work. That's free enterprise.
Yeah.
He said people are just jealous of his immovable hair. And
this president wakes up every morning, looks out across America, and is proud to announce...
No, not that one. The Scott Ford, talking about his jealous rivals.
The country already has a leader who divides us with the bitter politics of envy.
Uh-huh.
We have to offer an alternative vision.
Envy?
Alternative vision in which poor people shut the hell up.
Look,
and I get richer and richer.
I feel your little brown eyes on me. I know that all you people wish you were as white and perfect and stony as I am.
You're just jealous of me.
You're just jealous.
I'm so popular and authentic.
You're jealous of the creases in my jeans.
When did he become Reese Witherspoon?
Exactly. My favorite thing lately is Chris Matthews going nuts over his mom jeans. Yeah. What? Who dresses like that? What's that little costume he wears with the mom jeans? All right,
especially Mike. Became Kevin Meaney.
I know. I don't know what he's doing there.
We're big pant people.
Yeah, we're big pant people.
Right.
Mike in Illinois. Hi, Mike.
Looking at you with your tight pants on.
I just want to say, that now that everyone's finding out what a corporatist huckster Romney is, I think...
I'm sorry. Oh, you said huckster. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think people are going to start going to Ron Paul. I think Paul is the only one really that stands a chance of beating Obama, especially when people are starting to wake up now to the fact that they're realizing, especially people who use illegal substances in this country, that Obama stabbed them in the back.
Oh, dear.
Well, I don't think so, actually. And he didn't run on legalizing any of those things.
He kind of did. No, he kind of didn't.
He didn't, actually. But here's the thing. Right. Ron Paul, and believe me, I think there's a lot of Democrats who are actually for, easing or eliminating the drug war altogether.
Yeah.
Much much more so than there are Republicans who feel that way. And Ron Paul's big problem is they bait him in those debates into saying he wants to legalize heroin. Mm-hmm. They bring it up, you know, as if he wants to legalize heroin as opposed to eliminate the illegality.
I would love to have him be the nominee. And I would dare him to debate, to have the presidential debates at a lunch counter. Right next to President Obama.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
How'd you get in here?
50 to the hour, right back. I'm Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh boy, another technological confidence moment for me, Chris.
Why?
I was just freaking out because I couldn't hear in my headphones. I was about to scream at you and throw something at you and possibly try to get Siri to fire you.
Right.
My headphone plug was not plugged in.
Oh.
That's what it is. Okay, never mind. I got it. Nobody help me. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. This is also my Apple support day because Apple boy Hal Sparks is here. And I generally just go, why is this thing? It's not working. My iPhone is out. Oh, just that? Okay,
yeah.
Thanks. All right.
It's pretty
thanks.
Simple,
it's fixed.
Actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy liberal Hal Sparks is magic. Mm-hmm. I was telling this story yesterday. How about how you are literally a comedy machine? You were in the airport with me in Portland Sunday morning. I'd had virtually no sleep and was not even really conscious, and you were doing the most, I don't even remember it, but some sort of hilarious improvised comedy routine with all the condiments on my table in the diner.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
At like, you know,
well,
5 o'clock in the morning.
Well, they made the mistake. They had patriotic ketchup.
Support the troops on the ketchup.
Yeah,
and then
and
you
like,
were questioning the patriotism
of
the
other
condiments.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Especially the hot sauce.
Well,
hello.
And Grey Poupon, clearly. Clearly French and gay, right.
Absolutely.
Away.
Absolutely. Great. Well, you know.
America-hating mustard, clearly.
Is they saying that Romney doesn't support the troops with Grey Poupon? Is that what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because he does look like one of those guys who, you know, that was his first real job. That's where he made his fortune, was he was one of the guys in the limos reaching.
Yes.
Do you have any Grey Poupon?
Pardon me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Excusez-moi.
All right, so,
est-ce que vous avez du Grey Poupon?
Oui.
Hal Sparks, the man, the the app, the dessert topping. He's the sexy liberal.
What?
Which is a show, it is an album, and now it's a rap song.
Oh, yeah.
By Macaroni.
Sexy liberal. Stephanie Miller Show. Sexy in my role. Stephanie Miller Show.
I be like Steph. Yo, can you teach me how to sexy? I'm kind of rough and my hair kind of messy. My pants are cuffed and my shirt kind of scruffy. I need help, mama. Please, you told me that you love me.
Yeah.
She said, yo, you a sexy liberal. She gave me 2 tickets front row to the show. Said, I love how you do your thing with Don Fugel sang. How Sparks get more booty than Tootie Tang.
What?
No, I don't regret it.
What?
The sexy liberal show, that's where I'm headed.
What?
And Chris come in on my podcast, yo. I'm the official rapper of the Stephanie Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Sexy liberal.
Yeah.
Stephanie
what?
Miller Show. Sexy liberal.
Yeah, yeah.
Stephanie
what?
Miller Show.
What?
Box wine.
Box wine.
Fart jokes.
Okay, all right. He's fabulous. A lot of people, I have to find out where he lives. A lot of people saying you've got to get him to open. Oh, he lives here?
Yeah, West Side.
Okay. Oh, we got to get him to open for the L.A. Sexy Liberal, maybe in July. It's hilarious. All right, so Philadelphia up next. Phoenix sold out, sorry. Chicago going insane. The Super Saturday show is right before Super Tuesday. Chicago Blues All-Stars backing us up, and the sales are just going insane there. Hurry. Albuquerque as well, March 31st, and on. Go check it out. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook.
It'll be the best part about that whole week. Will be our show because Super Tuesday's not going to be that super.
Nah, it's not going to be that really. Super,
no.
But thanks for asking.
Yeah, right.
yes, I do look cute in this hat.
I'm super! Thanks for asking.
Do you think Marcus Bachman will open for us somewhere?
Better,
maybe Minneapolis.
He'll spend the whole show trying to convert you, but he won't really put his A game into it.
Ah!
that cuddle lap therapy doesn't really, yeah.
All right. Sean in Portland. My wife and I had a great time at the Portland show. Thanks, Sean. Let's see. Mm-hmm. We subscribed to the Stephcast. Oh, good boy. My only disappointment when you weren't selling sexy liberal T-shirts at the show. Oh, my goodness. Roland, get on that. Where's those Stephhead T-shirts? I was really hoping to sport one when I play volleyball with my conservative friends. Get right on that. All right? All right. Roland, get on that.
Yeah.
God's sakes. Oh, yeah, sexyliberal.com. We have some swag. Get it there. Eat it so you can annoy your right-wing friends.
Right.
Also, he says, like you, 2011 marked my 50th trip around the sun. Being of that era, I laughed out loud when I heard Mike and Raleigh's pitch-perfect update of Convention 72 by the delegates. Oh, the Dickie Goodman bit.
Yeah.
I wondered, I still have the 45 up in my attic. I have very vivid memories of my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Steele, playing the record in our classroom. Yeah, did you hear Mike's update from
New Hampshire? We are here in New Hampshire covering the primaries. Mr. Romney, why are you in first place?
Money!
When you left Iowa, what did your supporters say to you? We're joined by John Huntsman. What did the voters in Iowa say about you?
He's a real nowhere man.
With us now is Herman Cain. Mr. Cain, after Michelle Bachmann pulled out of the race, what did you say to her? And with her poor showing, what did she say to you?
It's a quarter after one.
We've heard you're continuing your 999 campaign. Who is leading that?
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Now let's speak to Ron Paul. Why are you in the campaign? And Mr. Paul, why does Fox News think you're in the campaign? We're speaking to Governor Perry. Sir, may I call you Rick?
Some people call me the space cowboy.
Sir, why have you not done better in the debates?
Sometimes I don't speak right.
Now we're speaking to Michelle Bachmann. What was your campaign slogan in Iowa?
Still crazy after all these years.
Mr. Bachmann, now that your wife has left the campaign, has it affected you? With us now is Rush Limbaugh. How would you describe your influence on the Republican Party?
The party don't start till I walk in.
Now we have a New Hampshire voter. Where do you plan to be if the Santorum bubble bursts?
Under my umbrella.
That's our report from New Hampshire. Back to you.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
That was the extended version.
The extended mix. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, the dance remix so we could get our groove on.
Howard, Staff, Howard writes, I haven't heard anybody refer to Governor Christie as Governor Christy Cream. Oh, that's funny. There's Mittens and Frosty. Am I being frothy? Am I being too juvenile? No.
Confused.
That's
says,
impossible for this show.
Too
impossible.
Juvenile.
Can I be the official Unitarian diabetic heating guy, hearse-owning motorcyclist of the Stephanie Miller
show?
Thank God, because we just had one that dropped out, and so that was a niche needed to be filled. Indeed, Howard. All right. Mittens, last night in New
York. This president wakes up every morning, looks out across America, and is proud to announce it could be worse.
No, he didn't ever say that.
It could be worse? That is not what it means to be an American. It could be worse. Of course not. What defines us as Americans is our unwavering conviction that we know it must be better and it will be better.
Mm. Actually, it'll be a lot worse if I'm president.
Yeah, exactly. That's his his version of "Yes, we can." Mm-hmm. It could be worse, and then like thumbs pointing at him.
Trust me, when Mitt came
Mitt
to
Romney.
Town,
yes.
Things could get worse.
I'm Mitt Romney. Things could be a lot worse, yes. And they will be.
Trust me, I'm friends. Mr. Potter. I'll make all America into Potterville. Mm-hmm. Jim in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
You guys are in very good form this morning.
Thank you.
I have a question that's been perplexing me. I can't understand why the Tea Party has not embraced Mitt Romney. The Tea Party is for smaller government, and here they have a chance to vote for someone who likes to fire people.
Yeah, yeah.
Government would be instantly smaller.
Yeah. Well, here's why. Because nobody likes Mitt Romney. Nobody.
Yeah.
He's just not
likable. Mitt Romney's
likeable.
The kind of guy you just really wanted to not invite to your birthday party when you
yeah,
were a kid.
Yeah, he's just irritating. You just want to give him a swirly.
There's also an element of boss to him that I think is really unappealing.
Yeah.
Like and Peter Principal boss, dad owns the company kind of boss.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of guy who goes, you know, calls you into his office, gives you the you can't break an omelet, make an omelet without breaking some eggs story, and you try to make the point, well, you still keep the yolks around so that you can actually make the omelet. You don't just throw the whole egg out and pretend you're making an omelet, because that's really what he's doing. You know, it's one thing when you have to fire a couple people to keep an actual business running. It's another thing entirely to go into the hen house and blow it up and go, eh.
Sparks, could you come to my office? First of all,
I like being able to fire people.
Now,
well, I'm glad you. I can help you feel good today, sir.
I've got my magic underpants in a bunch because I'm so excited.
I like being able to fire people.
Really?
Kevin in L.A. Hi, Kevin. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Mm. My question was, is that does it sound like Ron Paul's foreign policy issue? Does it sound liberal? Because being that on YouTube, he has an infomercial ad campaign that kind of makes a real powerful auto suggestion. He states that Chinese military had an industrial operation in Texas and things got out of hand and acted on bad information, and you know, it was a very powerful statement. And do you think that his foreign policy issue is too liberal?
Well, it's too liberal for the Republican Party. I mean, frankly, it's about the only thing he's right about, you know, and that's what's wrong for the Republican Party.
He has essentially a non-interventionist policy, but the reason he approaches it and seems so, you know, kind of plausible to liberals is because we agree that there should be a non-interventionist, especially when you're going and blowing up other countries. But he actually doesn't believe, like, we should go into situations like Rwanda or participate in the UN or NATO forces in those kind of situations either. And it's really, for him, about the elimination of the Department of Defense, because he doesn't, I mean, ultimately, if you boil down to the libertarian...
Because he wants to, you know, eliminate every department.
Right, exactly. So
he doesn't need to, you know, remember which three, like Rick Perry, because it's all of them, pretty much.
Yeah, if you really go after him, he has to admit, from his libertarian point of view, that he doesn't believe in standing armies. But he can't say that and ever get a vote anywhere. So what he says is non-interventionism, and that appeals to a big group of people.
After having just gotten out of this completely unnecessary war in Iraq, I think people are absolutely...
Especially
more weary.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, even in terms of getting out of Afghanistan, people are just weary. Ron Paul, last
night. The intellectual revolution is going on now to restore liberty in this country.
Oh,
is well on its way, and there's no way they're going to stop the momentum that we have started.
I'm nibbling.
Liberty from sanity is what
it is. Yes,
any
indeed.
Rules, regulations of any kind?
Nibbling. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this? What's going on?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
On a balloon ammo?
Yeah.
I'm the do it again girl in school. I cannot get enough of how Sparks. There he is. 1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number. Susan in Seattle, fellow Hal Sparks fangirl. Mm. Hello, Suze.
Oh, yes, I am. And I just wanted to say that I watched Charmageddon on TV last night.
Oh, it's right up on Logo now.
It's on Logo. I own a copy, an autographed copy, and yet my face was grinning from... I just couldn't stop grinning after watching it. I loved it.
Right.
I just loved it. When are you coming out with another one?
I'm shooting it this fall. One of the... You know, we had planned to do it this, like, in February, but I'm still going to be shooting Lab Rats, so...
His new Disney show, watch it.
Yes.
Yes, I heard about
February
it.
February 27th, Mondays at 8:30.
Not shooting any actual rats.
No. That's Sean Penn's character in Sweet and Lowdown, actually, I think.
Oh, cool. Stephanie?
Yes, and you have to see him in person. Come to Sexy Liberal, you must see him live. Mm-hmm. It's almost too much to
definitely.
Take.
I have. have. All right. I had VIP tickets and everything, and I already have my tickets for next September for Take Forever. Well, I told you that last time you gave me a soda stream, and I just wanted to let you know that I love it.
Another
love the soda stream.
Another unsolicited testimonial to the power of the Steph Show, the Steph sponsors, and the Steph comedy hunks like Hal Sparks. Thank you, Susan. Okay.
That's fine. She's fine.
George in Chicago. Hi, George.
Hi, Stephanie. Hey, I just wanted to. I heard you guys talking a lot this morning about Romney's record at Bain.
Yes.
And I'm not a private equity expert, but it seems to me that. You know, if Romney has a history as an investor or any investment firm that takes a stake or buys a company, I was wondering if you guys could explain kind of more concretely how they would profit from investing in a company and either laying off workers or taking it into bankruptcy, either taking management fees out of it. It just doesn't seem nonsensical that, you know, folks like Bain on the companies where they, you know, lose their money. Are somehow being portrayed in the media as benefiting from it.
Oh, well,
that's an easy one. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's fairly simple. Running a company entails a lot of actual management and maximizing profit when you take in a company is a difficult proposition and a multi-year proposition. But if a profitable company is reaching kind of like a median level profit level, you can roll in and buy that whole company and sell off the parts of it, eliminate the jobs part of it. That's kind of not important. But the real estate holdings, the material goods, the inventory, all those things can be sold off at a higher point than at a 1 point profit than the overall profit that year, let's say. Now, if you kept the company and you ran it successfully, you could make multitudes of money, but it's way easier to roll in on a company that's doing fairly well.
Yeah, it's all about making money for the investors. It's not about
chopping it up and give away all the parts. Now, if you want to maintain chunks of that company because it is a functional running company, offshoring all those jobs and minimizing them to the absolute base is one of the other things that Bain Capital is good at. And so that's essentially how they do it. If you want to run a company long term, you're right. The profit is much better to roll in, grab a company, and start running it. But that actually entails a level of investment risk these guys aren't willing to take. They just roll in, buy it, and crash it.
Yeah, I mean,
Does that make sense?
I mean, the attacks are exactly, to me, they're dead on, Hal, because he's using this, saying he's a job creator.
Right.
When exactly the opposite. I mean, that's why it's so just ludicrous and disingenuous of him to pretend that, you know, he has experience creating jobs.
For himself.
Yeah.
Accumulating profit.
All right. Yeah. John Huntsman in New Hampshire last
night. I'd say third place is a ticket to ride, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
Hello, South Carolina.
I'd say it's happiness is a warm gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Wizard.
We've got a ticket to ride.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Wizard.
I mean.
Excellent.
She's not a
Dad.
Wow.
Who misses mulch. Oh yeah.
By the way, what was your fight scene about that you just filmed for your Disney show?
I can't talk about it.
It's
part of the plot. I don't really want to. Yeah, I don't want to give it away.
He's all macho and bruised up.
Yeah. Well, I've got. Yeah, I got a nice. Little.
That's a little sparring bruise.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. Nice.
That's what happens when you let one of your kids kick you.
I have self-inflicted wounds from doing too many jokes in Portland. I did something with the microphone. That
you
I'm
did.
Not, yeah.
It's hit all yourself in the face.
All self-inflicted. Uh-huh.
We need to get.
It might have been the teabagging demonstration. You were a little vigorous. 29 minutes after the hour, right back. More Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's not a woman. She's the Terminator.
And things of this nature. Get back to the chopper.
Yes.
Leslie Park. But not back in Maria's bed.
Who's this? This is Cousin Patty. He's going to be staying with us for a while. You don't have a Cousin Patty. You lied to me.
Bong. That's from Throw Mama from the Train. from Billy Crystal. Yeah.
All right. Wow.
Ann Ramsey, bless her heart.
Yeah.
Hump Dates with Hal Sparks, 34 minutes out of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? We're just playing this because he says Dixville Knox, right?
Notch.
Notch.
You know, I love this. This is what America is all about. Like you said, no hanging chads. We didn't see any Black Panthers with baseball bats. These were good American folks going to do their patriotic duty. So. And I think it's fantastic. Dixville Notch is just a great little place. And Lord bless them, because you know they have to deal with all those moose up there.
It's a great little place with no black people.
See,
no black people. We do have mooses, but we're allowed to shoot them.
Black Panthers with bats standing outside a polling place making sure that white people in trucks don't scare black people away from voting. But that was one of their things that is kind of like their gay hatred, which is that the existence of gays makes me feel icky, so I want a law so I don't have to feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect my rights at all that gay people get married or be able to live anywhere they want or eat anywhere they want, but it's uncomfortable. So I would like a law.
I have a right not to feel icky.
Yeah. And so I want to be able to disenfranchise black voters, and now there's a guy standing there stopping me from disenfranchising. He's infringing on my right on someone's rights.
Hang out. This study is going to make the right wing's head explode. Two moms are better than one. Child abuse rate at 0% in lesbian households, according to a new report. The paper found none of the 78 adolescents reports ever having been physically or sexually abused by a parent or other caregiver. This contrasts with 26% of American adolescents who report parent or caregiver physical abuse and 8.3% who report sexual abuse.
But they were made to know that they were very disappointed.
Disappointed! Yes.
Which is worse.
Yeah.
For the record, though... I guarantee you, in reading that, what Rick Santorum would say or what Michelle Bachman would say is that
there's no good violent male role model.
Only having two females is child abuse.
Sure.
Just the existence, the fact that there isn't a dad is child abuse.
And by the way, so then the other whole thing is, it's going to, gay parents will make you gay. On sexual orientation, only 2.8% of the adolescents in the study identified as predominantly or exclusively homosexual, which is lower than the national average.
Yeah, right.
So,
well, it's because a certain amount of rebellion against your parents, I guess, is good.
Yeah,
if you have gay parents.
The best way of not being gay is having gay parents.
I'll show you.
Hey, Mom, look, I'm watching Monster Truck Rally.
Because everyone thinks sex between their parents is gross. And
right.
See,
no matter who does it.
In this case, it's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
By the way, this argument, Jim, we were talking about this the other day about Gingrich arguing adoption services should be Gingrich argues adoption services should be allowed to take taxpayer money while discriminating against gays.
Right.
This is this thing they always throw out about Catholic Charities was supposed to shut down or blah.
Whatever.
No, they just don't get federal funds.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Here's because I told you the night I came out on Larry King, Dennis Prager threw this out there. Like, it's the most important thing in the world, the Catholic Charities, ability to discriminate against gays. Like, that's So on CNN, Newt Gingrich defended his false claim that same-sex marriage laws have forced Catholic Charities and other religious institutions to shut down their adoption services. CNN Soledad O'Brien said, isn't what really happened that if the church decided it was going to continue to take federal funds and have access to those foster children, that they couldn't discriminate against gay couples who wanted to adopt? They weren't really forced to close. They made the decision.
That's my point, frankly.
Yeah, and then Gingrich said, no, they were forced to close, which is not...
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap.
They had the option of obeying the law, and they chose not to.
Exactly. Think Progress points out, O'Brien is right, of course. Religious adoption services have a right to believe whatever they want under the First Amendment, mm-hmm. but they cannot use taxpayer funding to treat gay and lesbian couples like second-class citizens. D.C. Catholic Charities, which receive government funding, voluntarily shut down rather than provide adoption services to same-sex couples. And Catholic Charities in Massachusetts, quote, refused to place children with same-sex couples as required by Massachusetts law after a legislative struggle during which the Senate president said he could not support a bill condoning discrimination. Catholic Charities pulled out of the adoption business. So if you pull out of the business yourself in a homophobic snit, that's not you're being shut down.
You're being forced to by the gays.
For the record, though, let's be abundantly clear. The Catholic Church does not have a lot of money.
not anymore.
On paper.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it's just you don't, it's fine. But
they have a whole city they could sell.
Exactly, but. Right.
That's the issue, though. You don't get government money to discriminate. You can. Yeah, I mean, sure, mm-hmm. you can believe whatever you want to believe in America. All right. Let's continue.
But even then, Like, I mean, the fact that churches don't pay taxes and are outside that whole realm of thing allows them room to discriminate all they want within their doors, you know, but they're not a business.
Right.
Businesses rely on the electrical grid and all kinds of other things and benefit from the tax dollars of other people, and therefore, arguably, they can't legally because they benefit from all of our taxes, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, doesn't matter, gay, straight. The churches have always been removed. That separation of church and state. Once they blur that line between church and state, then the churches have to start behaving like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want, you know what, you could solve that? Start paying taxes, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly right. You're exactly right. How it's a separation of church and state issue. It's like, well, okay, you know, you can't put them together to your benefit and be able to discriminate. It's
exactly because Gretchen, you become part of the federal system, and that's for everybody. Churches aren't for everybody. They're for your believers and your believers only.
Thank you.
And those soft-headed enough to come in and, you know, toss up in the collection plate every time they have a law case coming up or a car.
Sure. All right. Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends on the big snow machine secessionist vote.
Newt Gingrich has a Palin endorsement under his belt, but it is Todd Palin.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin's husband says Gingrich is well-suited for the White House.
Frankly.
That's interesting because, as you recall, Todd Palin is an independent. Ooh. So what does that say about independents voting for Gingrich? I don't know.
I don't know.
Nothing.
Just throwing it out there. I don't know.
I'm going to go
morons
with...
Morons like Todd? I don't
absolutely
know.
Nothing. Because, first of all, he's not an independent. Yeah. That's goofy.
He wants to be independent of the United
States. Exactly. If I was married to her and she ran as a Republican, I would be forced to identify as an independent simply to save face everywhere I went. Just pushing a cart through the market, I'd be going, I'm an independent. We're married, but I hardly ever see her. One of these wheels is always busted. I'm just like you.
Here we go. Andrea Tantaros on Fox News on the same subject we just spoke about.
To the point about the Obama administration, they have been cutting services to the Catholic Church and been beating up on Catholics for a long time. Catholic Church does a lot of good behind the scenes. They do a lot of good out there on the streets, and they've cut funding just because they don't agree with their beliefs. Some of these beliefs, which I would point out, the administration espouses itself, like gay marriage.
What? First of all, the Catholic Church, if you want to say that they're a moral organization, then why wouldn't they just continue to do it without federal funds? If you really believe in Catholic adoption and you think it's that important, then why do you need the federal funds to do it? Add that to your collection. You don't go to federal funds to build your building. You got nice churches all over the place and huge plots of land.
I thought you were all small government folks. Why do you need government money?
Exactly. They're cutting federal funding to Catholic churches. They should be out of the church business 100%.
All right.
It's
Rush Limbaugh.
I know you think he's a
Romney.
I know you think he's a Ken doll. I'm worried that we're looking at Richard Nixon, too. Richard Nixon the second. I'm worried that we've got a moderate here. There's no question.
Uh-oh. Oh, dear. It's the kiss of death. Moderate? Don't you love that moderation? Just the very word. It's like a horrible thing now.
Another liberal like Nixon.
Look at Rush Limbaugh. Physically look at the man. And understand that moderation is something alien to him and uncomfortable for him.
Yeah. All right, Mary Madeline.
You barely hear this show through the pork chops in my mouth.
Extremism in defense of gluttony is no vice, my friend.
He's the only person you can actually hear eating while he talks.
Disturbing. Stop it. All right, Mary Madeline on these situations.
Why we are conservative to not vilify capitalism, and I'd like some of these candidates to talk about there can be no free markets or capital markets without virtue, without morality, and that's the essence of our philosophy. So to do the dirty work of the Democrats by Republicans is offensive.
So are you for amoral free markets, or are you not for them? She was all over the map in that one.
Yeah.
Fight for morality and ethics, but to let the Democrats get free run because you're attacking something that I can just said is bad.
Yeah, sure.
I think my nose is bleeding. I'm getting a little woozy.
I got to read this. Julie from Seattle sends us, should anyone doubt the fairness of calling the GOP primary a hot mess? Read them a bit of this. It's more like a Fellini casting call than a campaign event. Ron Paul meets Mayhem at Morning Stop. At a breakfast visit to Mojo's family restaurant, few actual primary voters were in attendance. Instead, the restaurant packed with a group of 100 high school students from Franklin, Massachusetts, out-of-state activists from the Nonpartisan Americans Elect, more than 100 journalists, fringe candidate Vermin? Supreme, a convertible with two people in pig costumes promoting the website taxmeat.com. When Paul arrived, he was swarmed by a group of nearly 30 television cameras photographers after spending 15 minutes trying to push his way through the media hordes to greet Massachusetts residents who weren't old enough to vote anyway. Paul gave up and fled back into his black Chevy Suburban, accompanied by aides and burly security men. In the parking lot, he was met by Vermin Supreme, a perennial fringe candidate who's running on a platform of mandatory toothbrushing and ponies for all. Supreme, wearing multiple neckties and a rubber boot on his head, taunted Paul. Ron Paul's a monster, he shouted into his megaphone. Supreme stood in front of Paul's convoy as it tried to exit. Where does Ron Paul stand on zombie preparedness, he said. Come on, Ron Paul, you don't want to run me over. That would be bad press.
That's got to be scary for Ron Paul.
Such a clown show.
Those are usually the folks who vote for him.
Right.
Wait a minute, those are my people. Wait a minute, people
I'm losing my constituency.
There's
a guy, the two guys in pig costumes usually like me.
I invented wearing a boot on your head.
All right.
Or an onion on your belt.
Yeah, exactly. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back. I'm Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I can't get enough disco.
50 minutes after the hour.
Never
the Mike
gets...
and Raleigh bit, that's what I mean.
Oh.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. Calling an audible. All right, 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Happy post to New Hampshire Day, where Mitt Romney won at 39%. What was it, Ron Paul, 23%, and Huntsman at 16.
Yeah, 16.3.
Yeah,
that's a ticket to ride, baby.
Oh, I forgot to continue. What's
ride
his name?
It.
Vermin Supreme's platform that he's running on, the guy with a boot on his head. I love this story. His website says he's not to be confused with Waffles the Clown. He was speaking at an event there. He rightfully noted that gingivitis has been eroding the gum line of this great nation long enough. He's running on the mandatory toothbrushing platform.
Uh-huh.
He closed his speech by glitter bombing fellow candidate Randall Terry, a pro-life activist and newly minted Democrat, because Jesus told him to turn Terry gay. That's it. There you go.
Wow. Will glitter do that?
I don't know. I was like, boy, I must have missed that. When did that happen?
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. By the way, did you see Rick Santorum has tried to correct himself once again?
Oh, yeah. He said... Plives?
Plivin. I said Plivin.
Yeah, right.
Mrs. Flarkenmans.
He should just claim that he was trying to out-Chinese John Huntsman and has yet no experience in the language and just tried to do it.
I was trying Mandarin.
Yeah.
Republican contender Rick Santorum continues to try to explain away a racist welfare rant in which he said, I don't want to make black people's lives better through government aid. Santorum appeared to acknowledge he made the remarks in an interview with CBS shortly after the original comment. After being roundly criticized, though, he backtracked and claimed he said, blah.
Blah,
blah
people.
People.
Blah, people.
Blah.
That was,
which was taken as an attack on Romney.
Yes, exactly. That was.
I don't want to make blah. People's lives better by giving them somebody else's money. I want to give them the opportunity to go out and earn the money and provide for themselves and their family.
Blah, people got blah. No identity.
Blah,
blah, people got no identity. Blah, people got
blah.
No identity to me.
Get more and more of you dependent upon them so they can get your vote.
You got the blah hands and blah eyes. And you can see how I genericize.
Blah,
blah people.
That's what the bottom line is.
Yeah. So now his latest explanation, wait for it. What sounded like black people was actually the garbled word plives.
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 No, he didn't want to. He wanted to affect blah people's plives.
He said, "Oh,
totally."
Yeah, he maintains he did not say black people's lives better, but rather stumbled verbally when he was trying to say people's lives and uttered a short syllable that came out as plives.
Plives. Blah plives.
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Great.
Nice one.
That's what we have to look forward to with President Santorum. I didn't say launch a full-out nuclear attack on China.
Flarnin.
I said flaunch a full-out nuclear knack on China. Duh.
This is like an old land shark skit.
Totally.
I'm sorry. It's
not what I said.
I said what?
Right. I said I won't want to delight... Emin
Candy Graham
for their Wahina in March. That's what I said. What I said was
Pahar.
What I meant to say was
Schmigan flu.
Dr. Furrier. Pahar.
H-F-U-H-U.
He also
mean to say arrest all liberals. I said fuck yes.
I didn't say it's time for FEMA camps. I said, I'm
blind another version
for Gleema
of that, the Jim character, the Jim Carrey character in Bruce Almighty. Rick Santorum gibberish. He also said that he has done more in black communities, quote, than any Republican in recent memory. A little bit of a leap. The NAACP blasted him for falsely suggesting that most welfare recipients are black. He said that in the past, too. And clearly he said black.
Well, by the way, other people's money refers to what Wall Street people are doing when they're shuffling houses around.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, I don't...
You mean like a taxpayer bailout for gambling on credit default swaps based on $11 trillion worth of real estate, $32 trillion a year in exchange
funds? Jim, you
know,
I don't, as a
that
person that frequently mispronounces things, I don't... it's not that. It's just that he clearly said black.
Yeah.
Meghan McCain, a woman after my own heart, said the Obamas deserved an emoticon of privacy twice. She meant modicum.
An emoticon of privacy.
Like the frowny face.
And I'm also someone that over emoticons, as you said.
Totally
yes, I do. I over emoticon in emails.
Let's give the president a moment of smiley face, closed parentheses.
In her defense. I think she's auditioning to play Mrs. Malaprop on stage at the Ford Theater. So.
Or she would say, Meister Malaprop.
All right. Rick Perry, the little dumber boy, as we continue on to South Carolina.
South Carolina is a winner-take-all state. And so winning here, I can promise you, wipes out the caucus victory and New Hampshire. So if Mitt's thinking he's got it in the bag, I think he's going to be in for a great surprise in South Carolina when he shows up here.
Mm-hmm. There is a surprise
we
in Mitt's bag,
treat him
I'll
pretty
tell
ugly.
You that.
We
tell you what, we'll treat him ugly.
We'll treat him pretty ugly down here in South Carolina. Can I just ask one thing? What is the point of Iowa exactly? I don't get it. There's no delegates.
As a corn. State or?
No way.
Yeah, corn.
The Republican.
Think corn, pretty much corn. And
what's the point of the caucus
like,
if there's no?
It's like the cantaloupe in a fruit salad. Okay. You know what I mean? It just adds, a little bit of girth.
Yeah. I'm just
Do it. A little volume.
Newt Gingrich.
The states would look really sort of donut-y without it. If you took out,
I mean, the Republican numerical process is what I think.
Nothing,
okay,
nothing
thanks,
whatsoever.
Okay, thank you.
It
okay.
Is a, it
Newt
is meant,
Gingrich is being forced to abandon his.
It's an artificial tipping point for any of the candidates. They can front load their wins.
Sunny personality because of Romney.
I'm now being forced by Romney's tactics into a much clearer contrast campaign. I think most
by
people
using
realize
Romney's
doing this
tactics.
Reluctantly. And because you can't
Why?
Unilaterally disarm. You can't walk off the field unless you're going to quit. And so Romney set the terms for this.
It's not negative. He's drawing contrast.
It's his despicable tactics that are making me use
despicable
his
tactics.
Despicable tactics. Yes. What?
Yeah, wasn't that in record time? Frankly, I deplore the use of these packs. You know what? Screw you. You're a liar. Man. Here's my pack.
Why wouldn't
Here's
you?
Here's my ad.
If you really want to, if you're talking the moral high ground and you're meant to be, talk about flip flopping. But if Gingrich is really saying I'm going to stand by who I think the Republican, and stay by that 11th commandment, which I think is probably the 12th commandment. The 11th to them is maximize profit. isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would be, you know, don't make fun of. You should stick to that no matter what, shouldn't you?
Exactly.
One would think. 50, just saying.
That would be consistent. That's, no. 58 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal, the man right next to me. Hal Sparks. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues.
Sometimes on you, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hello.
Frankly.
Nancy. Nancy, and I think I chipped a tooth during the teabagging demonstration. I don't know what is going on down there, but woof, that's a lot of man. Okay.
That'll make you good jobs and click for a week.
Nancy in San Diego writes, Steph, my husband Brian and I are the official liberal college professor bad parents of the Stephanie Miller Show. And the proud parents of dump truck boy. Oh, Brennan.
Ah, yes.
Yes, Brennan.
Did you say George Bush is a dump truck?
The Bush is a dump truck.
Thank you, Brad.
I had the same mispronunciation problems when I was
a kid. I meant to say truck, Your Honor. I was just...
Today is Brian's birthday. It would be great if you could wish my favorite sexy liberal a happy birthday. Sexy, how old is this cat? I'm a little confused. Can I get a Steph Grope over the airwaves from you to make his day special? Oh, dear. We have meet and grope tickets for the L.A. show July 28th. Any chance Jim and Chris will also be available for groping? I think we can make that happen. Mm. All right.
I should hope so.
How old is Brennan now? I don't
know.
I'm not sure if I should give... Did they mean an on-air grope for him? I don't know.
No, I think they meant for the father.
Oh, for the father.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
that's fine,
not a problem,
then. Sure.
Then. Sure.
Sure.
Seriously. And that's...
And yay for bad parenting. Yay.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice how shiny John Huntsman's suit got when he got third place?
Yeah, what's going on? Like, it's like got a Soprano suit now.
I think we know where that $50,000 went. One outfit. Oh, now he's pulling girls up out of the audience.
Damn.
Hey,
oh, he's going back to his wizard days.
Wizard!
Excellent! I'm in a band. Okay. Kids, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, Sexy Liberal on Twitter. Philadelphia next up February 4th. Phoenix already sold out, sorry. Chicago going fast March 3rd. And then coming up next, March 31st.
Progressives of the Great Southwest, prepare to take a left in Albuquerque.
I knew I should have taken that left turn in Albuquerque.
Because by popular demand, the comedy phenomenon that is captivating the nation, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, is making its Albuquerque debut.
It's the kind of bold flavor they enjoy in Albuquerque.
On March 31st, just in time for election year insanity and frivolity, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at Pope Joy Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com or by calling 1-877-664-8661. New Mexico, come experience liberal laughs of nuclear proportions.
You said nuclear. It's nuclear, dummy. The S is silent.
Duke City, you can't miss this.
Yeah. And Santa Fe, get it, because you didn't get to see Hal Sparks last time. He was in Scotland. So
it's
get
true.
It. Hurry. Tickets going fast.
I thought.
All right. Speaking of the social media, what a headline. Dad tries to sell son for $20 million on Facebook. That is awful. In this economy, don't be so greedy. Maybe a million you could get. What's wrong with you?
You got to set it high. I wonder what the reserve bid was.
It's a kid from Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. His father, a failed businessman who wanted authorities to help him when a local court ruled his debt-collecting firm illegal. Mitt Romney's like, hey, I've got five of these bastards. Hey. I can make some more campaign.
Right. Free up some bedrooms, and I could renovate.
By the way, the Romney boy is kind of dreamy. Kind of remind me of the Osmonds a little bit. The one behind him last night, a little weird looking. A little glassy eyed.
Yeah. You know what? I think they all got their mom's teeth, though.
They're
kind of like,
No, the one back there, behind him.
Yeah.
With the, that was yeah, a, with the yeah. Teeth. But they're cute. Mr. King, just saying.
He looks like a Shakespearean villain when he opens his mouth.
See, I was a little weird because, I mean, I had the Donnie crush, but I was kind of like Meryl. I like Meryl a little bit, so I'm a little...
I'm going to go with...
a little offbeat taste.
Don't make fun of somebody something genetically they can't help. It's their dumb ideas that are of concern.
Well, their orthodontia is available, particularly when you have a lot of money. So yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Right, but what I'm saying is there shouldn't be no force to do that. If that's the way your teeth came out, you should
then
have
it. Sure.
It's okay.
You can get it fixed.
This is in high school. I'm just saying.
Sure.
Yeah, Chris Christie is fat because of his choices. Your teeth come in the way your teeth come in.
But you can.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's right.
It's not their choice to get
you know what I mean?
Fixed.
Yeah, exactly. Fat is a temporary state, no matter who you are. It just is.
So are bad teeth if you're rich.
Right, if you're rich, right.
All
right.
And
you have insurance. He's getting to see. Yeah.
All right, Newt Gingrich talking about Romney.
I think the contrast with Romney that will matter is the contrast on his record as governor. He raised taxes. I fought to lower taxes. He was for gun control and raised the tax on guns. I am for the Second Amendment rights. I think you'll find there's a real contrast.
He's not going negative. He's drawing contrast. That's what it is.
Right.
And as you know, he was not a lobbyist.
Or really negative contrast.
He was a historian at Freddie Mac. However, I found this odd. Gingrich Company refuses to release Freddie Mac contract despite permission.
Yeah.
Freddie Mac paid his company $1.6 million for what officials described as building bridges to congressional Republicans. That's not lobbying.
No.
Building bridges.
Bridges.
Construction
want to
work,
build
really.
Actual bridges.
No.
Because that would,
No. That's infrastructure and that's French and gay. Yeah,
and
unions.
Cats in the cradle and the silver ball.
Gingrich maintains he was not a lobbyist and he would love to release his contract with the company to prove
it,
but Freddie Mac. Freddie Mac wouldn't allow it. But when Freddie Mac said last week they'd welcome the contract's release, Gingrich said he still couldn't release it because his former consulting company had to sign off. Now the company, which is a division of Gingrich Group, is refusing to release the contract. It's weird.
So weird.
Maybe you should contact the boss, Mr. Gingrich.
He has nothing to do with, Newt Gingrich has nothing to do with Gingrich Group, much as Ron Paul has nothing to do with the Ron Paul newsletter. That's certainly plausible. I can understand that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have to check with myself. I have to check with the historian make sure that...
Gingrich Group, why would I have anything to do with... I have no say there.
Turns out the head of the Gingrich Group is not allowing me to do that, frankly. Mm-hmm. Neither is the historian of the Gingrich Group. So, sorry.
Let me ask the paleontologist on staff, frankly. Newt Gingrich. Yes.
They're young enthusiasts, and at some point, people will figure out this is actually the legalized drug group. And once that becomes clear enough, I think you'll see Ron Paul's support shrink rather than mine. Paul has two great driving groups. Don't worry about Iran's nuclear weapons and, legalized drugs. I think each of those ultimately shrinks his appeal.
All right. Okay.
Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons.
Exactly. Yeah, dipstick.
And
Panetta came out and said they don't have one, and the Obama administration's policies of sanctions have directly slowed down any plans they did have for even a nuclear facility for power,
and,
much less a weapon.
And even if they had one, Israel has at least 200, possibly 300.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not going to do them any good anyway.
And here's the problem. When you have this, hyper-Bushy policy for, a better part of a decade, and if you count the original Bush and Reagan and how they acted, the only recourse a small, crazy country like Iran or North Korea has is to have a weapon. The only reason we haven't attacked Korea in the opportunities that we had in the last 20 years was because they had a nuclear weapon. And so your message is...
Get one.
Iraq,
get one as soon as possible.
Yeah. Iraq didn't have WMDs, and we attacked them. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying to these countries is, your best way to keep us out is WMDs, having them, not...
And looky
a
here.
BS story to muscle up to your buddies.
Ron Paul is defending Mitt Romney against the attacks about his comment about firing people and said any of his Republican rivals hitting Romney on the topic just don't understand the way the economy works. Ron Paul.
And reorganization is a proper function in a free market. So I think this is just typical politics, and it's I think they're unfairly attacking him on that issue.
The free market demands that you fire people.
Yeah, he said reorganization is a proper role. You save companies, you save jobs, you reorganize companies that go bankrupt.
That's not what he did, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's not what he did.
That's actually closer to what Barack Obama did with the auto industry.
Right.
But you're not going to see Ron
Paul
defending him.
The communist socialist Muslim bailout?
Yeah.
See, this is how cattywampus this whole primary is when you think about it. Paul's campaign also sent out a statement on the topic shortly after he spoke, hitting Santorum, Gingrich, and Huntsman for, quote, using the language of the liberal left in their hits on Romney. So, Ron Paul just himself is like a crazy car with conflicting views of the left and the right. And
well, that's, again, you know, if you really want to, other point that Gingrich makes, that Ron Paul's one of his biggest problems is his, you know, wanting to legalize drugs. Well, a majority is starting to think that whether they want to legalize them or not, that the drug war itself is a failure. And so he's appealing to that crowd. You know, but Gingrich also just famously said recently that they're potheads. that's who his big constituency is potheads. Well, guess what, dude? I don't know if you've looked around, but that's a really big crowd.
Yeah.
And apparently it's 16%.
Oh, and
right
by the
now.
Way, this just in, Mitt Romney has said he feels sorry for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Because she frequently gets her facts wrong.
Really?
Well, smarmy bastard.
I thought it was because she was female, and in his corporate America, women, although they ask for as many raises and do as well on the job as men, they receive less benefits and fewer raises.
Thank you.
Because they're chicks.
She said, which is awesome.
They should be home being broodmares for their church.
She said, Mitt Romney, I think, is more of a job cremator than a job creator.
Good one.
He was a corporate buyout specialist at Bain Capital. He dismantled companies. He cut jobs. He forced companies into bankruptcy.
He outsourced jobs and sent jobs overseas.
That's not a record to write home about. That's not a record to be proud of. It's something voters need to know.
She's getting her facts wrong.
She's a chick. Mm-hmm.
Chicks will do that.
Right.
In between spitting out babies.
All right, ladies. That's pretty much what he's...
Yeah.
Simmer down.
Don't get your Mormon panties in a bunch.
Right.
By the way, she said he's coming off what some point probably wouldn't even be defined as a win in Iowa, where fewer voters came out for him than they came out in 2008. She added that anything less than 50% in New Hampshire should be interpreted as a sign of weakness, given his close ties to the state.
She obviously has her facts wrong. Mm-hmm. She's not very good at math, clearly.
She obviously has my facts wrong. What you're supposed to do is interpret the reality the way I interpret reality. And
Democrats are unveiling new campaigns to try to define his business experience as more Gordon Gekko than Steve Jobs, which is exactly what I said yesterday. We have to cut in parts of Wall Street into the... He's Gordon Gekko, right? Greed
of course
is good. Greed works.
Well, one of the big marches towards corporate personhood, and there were a lot of markers along the way. Everybody thinks Citizens United was the big turning point, but it wasn't. It was just yet another, because the corporations got the right of free speech, you know, ages ago. I think it was in the 50s even. So his idea, though, that corporations are people and that whole...
Right.
That's not new with these guys. Yeah. That's the goal.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back. More Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
You can
dance with a midget.
Little person.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the very best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. All right. Why am I talking like this? I don't really know. Mary in New Mexico, you're on the Stephanie Miller. Oh, wait a minute. I did the wrong line there. Sorry. Mary, go ahead. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Buenos dias, mama.
Adios, mio.
I wanted to go back to a previous caller that Hal responded to about how LBOs work. Back in the early 90s, when I was young, self-absorbed, and a little bit douchey, I was a paralegal in what was called an old white shoe law firm. And it was the height of the leveraged buyout age. And I remember in particular two deals we worked on. The first one was a company that was over 50 years old, had $45 million a year in revenue. And this was a small regional company. It was subject to an LBO, and 18 months later was in bankruptcy court.
Yep. Wow.
Because essentially what they do is they put a value on the company based upon not necessarily its current value, but projected earnings for like the next 3 to 7 years. And then they borrow money, which is the leverage part of it, to the tune of like 90 or 95% of the value of that company. Then what they do is they start paring down, but they're still so saddled with debt that they'll never get out from under it, and then they end up in bankruptcy court.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right, Mayor. Yeah,
no, it's like it's very similar to, you know, how the housing crisis occurred with mass buyings of properties by independent
flippers. Right.
Yeah,
the point is, Mary, Mitt Romney's worth what, $250 million? You don't make that kind of money. I mean, that's who made money, him and his investors.
Well, and there's not, point out a single Bain product. You know, like you can look at Apple, you can even look at Dell or Microsoft or Caterpillar, and all these companies have their issues, certainly, but they produced something.
Right.
You know, the Bain doesn't make anything. They take people who make things and they carve them up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chris in Chicago. Hi, Chris.
Bonjour, tout le monde.
Bonjour.
Thanks. I was going to say that what bothers me a little bit about the circular firing squad, although I'm enjoying it, what my concern is that they're doing this on purpose to make a brokered convention and then slip in somebody they really want because they'll just completely destroy everybody else. I mean, what do you think about that? Isn't that what a brokered convention can do?
Yeah, but I don't know that there's – I mean, if you look at who could be their, you know, white horse candidate, and they will be – what is it going to be, John Thune? They going to pull in Evan Bayh and run him as a Republican?
Or maybe Chris Christie? I mean, he
won't be Chris Christie.
Or Jeb is what speculation is.
Jeb will never happen. The Bush, as much ask Rick Perry how the Bush legacy is treating him, and he doesn't even have the guy's last name.
I feel better then.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly, it's going to be one of these guys. It's probably going to be Mitt Romney. The only guy who has a chance of moving him at all in any reasonable way is Ron Paul. Ron will have to run as a third-party candidate because the Republicans are never going to have him. And that would divide their vote. I mean, there would be some cast-off Obama supporters who, you know, came over for the 2008 election that might drift his way if they vote at all. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to be on every ballot. There's going to be all sorts of issues with it. It's going to thin out considerably because he's going to have to make that decision late in the game.
Yeah.
And so getting on the ballot and all to make a real run is hard.
Zellen in Chicago. Hey, Zellen, welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking, I'm a George Lakoff freak, and I love metaphorical framing. I think we just need to make it a little bit simpler and understand that Bain Capital is a chop shop.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
We need to throw that word out there.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's essentially, you know, it's like they go to, you know, these like state auctions and buy cars at a fifth of their price,
right.
You know, because people got into trouble. Or even if there was a mistake made and your house is raided and they just take your stuff and it's already auctioned by the time you go, actually, I was innocent. Bain Capital is one of those guys who would roll in, buy all that stuff and sell the parts.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Cheap,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Chop shop is a great analogy.
Yeah,
for it.
Exactly. Thank you. Good boy. You're the smartest boy in class. Mm-hmm. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, we continue Hump Days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The glittering diamond of super evil.
So true.
The beep. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks. Okay, one of the gooey, like, funny things on the internet. Kitty videos, things like that. However, this is the new one.
I also took a trip out to California last week where I held some productive bilateral talks with your leader, Lady Gaga.
My mama told me when I was young, we are all born superstars. She rolled my hair and put my lipstick on in the glass of her ball.
There's nothing as loving who you are, she said, because he made you perfect, baby. So hold your head up there and you'll go. Fun. Listen to me when I say, I'm beautiful in my way, because God makes no mistakes. I'm a right slash baby. I was born this way. Don't have yourself in regret. Just love yourself and yourself. I'm a right slash baby. I was born this way.
Wow.
And Marcus Bachman said, did he say bilateral talk?
What did he say?
I love that.
Wow. Not since that freaky version of George Bush singing Oh Steffi to me have I been so impressed.
Oh Steffi, you're so fine, you're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh Steffi. Yeah. Steffi. Oh Steffi, you're so fine, you're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh Steffi. Yeah. Steffi. Oh Steffi, you're so fine, you're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh Steffi. Oh, Steffi, what's a boy like me supposed to do? You really drive me wild when you get sweaty in this suit. Oh, Steffi, how I love that talk show thing you do. It's hosts like you. What you do, Steffi, do, Steffi. Up in this suit, Steffi. Steffi out.
Yikes, yikes, yikes. All right. Hal Sparks, I've officially gone around the bend. I am not just a crazy dog woman. Now I'm a crazy cat woman. And I've made my first kitty video. And I believe you sent it to everybody, didn't we?
Oh, kitty video.
It's Oreo in training, and I'm doing it by Burgess Meredith and Rocky. Okay, enjoy. What?
What? What?
Now I have to do a
Did
dog.
Did I get it?
Now I have to do it. No, I'll send it to you. Okay. Oh, my God, Oreo's so cute. Good kitty. Hal Sparks, you're a real parent, new real parent. I'm just a dog and a cat parent now.
Right.
A new study, though, claims dogs are able to read our facial expressions and anticipate our desires just like human babies do. Crazy doggy parents who eagerly tell you the dogs are able to understand and communicate and are surely capable of basic levels of human cognition. Turns out these dog parents may not be so crazy after all. So there.
Well.
Max and Fred are just as handsome and romantic as I say they are.
Handsome, romantic. So, but can you read their facial expressions when you do that to them?
Theirs are always biscuit. That's
what? What are you doing?
Stop talking like that.
God.
Biscuit.
Biscuit and hike. That's all their facial expressions. I know what they mean. A new study has found dogs are able to make eye contact and take cues from humans in a manner similar to a six-month-old infant. Does Camden have you on like mind control? Can he make you do his bidding no matter?
No, I mean, that would be insane. but, you know, it's very easy to communicate.
You will find my binky.
But I do take issue with the idea, you know, with the dogs as children concept.
I picture your son being as smart, like the E-Trade baby. Like he's that, he talks like that. He's that smart.
He does have a hover car and he floats around telepathically controls physical objects.
He controls
But other than that, he's a very normal child.
Here's bad news for you and Chris, Jim. The Humane Society of the United States says for those people who talk to their dogs in baby talk voice, they should keep it up. Your dog knows that you're talking to them and they will pay more attention. So there.
The way I talk to me, I can friend, has been officially endorsed by the Humane Society.
Cats respond to vocal cues, too.
Yes! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? They use vocal and visual cues. You know what I mean? Like,
Yes. Oreo does a little gymnastics show for me every morning now. Who's a pretty kitty? Who's pretty and athletic? It's a different voice. He's a different voice for cats. Who's a pretty athletic kitty? Woo!
Really?
No.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't need to do that.
Okay. Trey in Tennessee.
I just get up next to him and go,
stop it. All right. That's creepy. Trey in Tennessee, for some odd reason, maybe this segment does not like our show. Hi, Trey.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I just find it odd that you're so hypocritical.
I mean,
here you guys are all making fun of, like, the ideas Republicans have.
Uh-huh.
Like, or lack thereof. I think it's more of the lack thereof.
Well, yeah. I'll get to you later.
Yikes. You've been warned.
I know it's
but
a
anyway,
popular
like,
show,
like
but I'm
ideas,
straight.
Like the ideas like Newt Gingrich have, like, you know, letting black kids go and clean up bathrooms. You think that's a bad idea?
But yeah. Well, no. The issue was that his immediate idea for poor kids was cleaning bathrooms. There was immediately menial work. He never occurred to him that they could work in the library or work in any other kind of situation. Where he went immediately was clean toilets, poor kid. Deal with it. Is it, and that's cool?
That, but here's the hypocrisy is you think that's wrong, but Stephanie thinks nothing of it.
Is that hypocrisy when you're high, or is that the same?
Yeah. Thinks nothing of what?
Stephanie thinks nothing of a young white girl doing her carpets.
What? A young white girl.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
I see.
Oh, it's a girl. Oh, my God, he made a lousy joke.
Oh, I see. Why is
wow,
that?
Wow, that was a long way to go for that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
Really? All that way just for that?
Yeah.
See, I was going to point out your hypocrisy. Because lesbians.
Really?
I have more in common.
Really?
Wait for it. Here it comes.
Really?
Did he yell bam as he said it afterwards?
Bam! Nothing but that. What?
Wow. And I thought jump around was the only thing I thought of in the 90s. Like, is that guy, that guy's like one of those guys who has, like kind of, you know, gut, t-shirt, jams, and flip-flops on outside at an event, holding a beer, going, that's what I'm talking about, that's what I'm talking about.
Why do I get the feeling that he taped that and he's having a party this weekend just to, come on, y'all, come here, listen to that again.
Carpet, Lizzie clean your carpet. Ah.
Yeah, and he has one of those old-fashioned tape recorders. Okay, let's do it again.
Yeah, I got this as a gift on my ninth birthday in 1974.
Okay. Lying, tight, broken.
Can I have some rich people music, please? Thank you. Sure. Just because we've been talking about Mittens, he's Richie Rich. He's Central Casting, isn't he? For just
Scrooge McDuck.
He is Scrooge McDuck.
No. Only Gawker ever has a moment of heart, you know, where he comes to his senses.
Yeah.
Just without the moral ending to the story. Yeah.
Gawker brings us a story of another. John Castle, 76-year-old Palm Beach plutocrat, breaks insolent waiter's finger.
Oh
my. It's an age-old and vexing question. How much is it fair to shave off the tip at a high-end restaurant to signal dissatisfaction with the wait staff? 2%? 5%? Should you stiff them? For leveraged buyout king John Castle the other night, the answer was easy. Just crack the little finger.
Wow.
Saturday night, he reacted to subpar service by calling his waiter a schmuck and breaking his finger. Castle and his wife were having dinner at Club Colette, an elite Palm Beach private dining club, when their waiter made the unforgivable error of bringing them the check. Because Mrs. Castle requested that he bring the check. He stated when he returned to the Castle's dinner table, Mrs. Castle instructed him to give the bill to her husband, John Castle. When he attempted to hand Mr. Castle the bill, Mr. Castle became irate with him and yelled, "You schmuck, why did you bring the bill to the table?"
What?
And then a scuffle ensued, and he broke.
And he's being sued now for $10 billion.
Yeah, exactly.
And that tip might have been easier.
Yeah. The plan is he's actually going to buy that guy with the money he sues him for and sell off all his parts.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow. One finger. I think your liver should go to a woman in Zambia.
All right.
I'm using it.
Julie sends us the story. Pat Buchanan blaming me and the blah people for his firing.
Oh, damn.
Conservative.
Blah people.
Commentator Pat Buchanan attacked gay rights and civil rights organizations for pressuring MSNBC to fire him after the release of his latest book. He said, look, for a long period of time, the hard left, I never know what that is, militant gay rights groups, militant, they call themselves civil rights groups, but I'm not sure they're concerned about civil rights. People of color, Van Jones, these folks and others have been out to
Van
get...
Van Jones!
Yeah.
Van Jones.
Have been out to get Pat Buchanan off TV.
Maybe I shouldn't have titled my book Mein Kampf, the sequel.
Yeah, really. Mein Kampf 2. Seriously, mine.
Buchanan has said he's not received a formal notification of his termination from the network, although executives have hinted he will not return. He's on indefinite suspension, isn't he, Chris?
Yes.
He's suspended.
Yes.
In mid...
In carbonite.
Yes.
Like Han Solo.
Like Jimmy and Joe in coma.
There you go.
And just in a little, white supremacist ether. He's just suspended there.
Yes.
All right. Oh, looky here. Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals declares Oklahoma's Sharia ban unconstitutional. Declaring their move violated the United States Constitution. In November, Oklahoma voters approved a ballot initiative to prevent Sharia law from being used in the state, something that even the measure's defenders could not identify as ever happening.
Right.
Anywhere. Following Oklahoma's lead, Sharia hysteria soon made its way to other states, including Arizona, Louisiana, and Tennessee, where our friend just called from. Odd that. And orchestrated by a small group of anti-Muslim misinformation experts, appellates, the reading partially read, appellates do not identify any actual problem the challenge amendment seeks to solve. So they, indeed, they admitted at the preliminary injunction hearing they did not know of even a single instance where an Oklahoma court had applied Sharia law.
So they burned lamb chop in effigy. Oh, I thought it was Sherry Lewis law.
Oh my God. We've made an error. We apologize. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah! Stephanie Miller.
Party, dance everybody, make it hot in this party. Don't stop, move your body. Rock this party, dance everybody, make it hot in this party.
Everybody get down. I came to rock at this party, cause I can make you feel alright. Sweet boy, rock your body, rock it straight through the night. Oh, you want this party?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Certainly is.
50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Chris in Yankton on our caller from, where was he from, Tennessee? Chris writes, guys, holy cow, that caller went a long way to land that lesbian joke. Was there an airport runway guy out there with glow sticks waving him in for about 10 minutes? Uh-huh. Absolutely stupefying. Conservative humor. Slide whistle thud.
Where was his whole, I'll get to you in a second, and then, booyah, click.
Not so much.
Yeah, and then he didn't. Yeah, come on, bring it back, Mr. Tennessee.
You thought you had
the can of whoop-ass ready for Hal Sparks. Why don't you bring it back?
Kind of wussed out there, Tad.
1-800-STEP-1-2. Why don't you bring it back, Tennessee? Come on. Okay. I can't believe I'm asking for that guy to call back.
Yeah, all right. We're not really asking you to call back.
All right, not really.
He's gone back to sleep anyways.
Rebecca has to screen that again.
It's nearly noon there, believe me. He's still in bed.
Yeah, he's already. All right. Thank you, Portland, for the Big Sexy Liberal Show Saturday. And also every single person apparently in the audience bought the Sexy Liberal comedy album after the show, apparently, online, and then sent it to every other single person they know. All right. And by the way, show's even going crazy as far out as June, for God's sake.
Progressive Patriots of Boston, leave your Puritan roots behind and join Stephanie Miller for an enticing evening of liberal debauchery. Because Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back for a second helping of Beantown.
But I remember Boston, and that victory was as sweet as the cream pie for which the town was named.
On June 9th, 2012, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, a.k.a. The Big Gig, proudly returns to the Wilbur Theater, starring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and progressive talk radio star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000, or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's Historic Theater District. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on June 9th. It is sure to be both wicked and awesome.
Wicked hot.
Awesome!
I totally agree. And by the time we get there, this whole, you know, field will have shifted, you know, on a seismic level again.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows, that's going to be about by June, for
God's sake. But only in the kind of, like, this is like a movie you've seen before, and you can't, you're just too tired, like you lost the remote and you can't get up and change it. You know, the Romney campaign is going to run on the same kind of tepid support it had the last time, except the field, they don't have a war hero senator that they really want to run the same way, who, by the way, they ran simply because they knew they were going to lose, and they just, you know, tossed. They're not fans of McCain, so they
Do you think it matters who, I mean, seriously, I know you and I are happy clappy liberals, but do you think it matters who it is? I mean, is this?
No, they're going to run the same campaign. Each one of these guys, no matter how different they try to paint themselves, are going to run as exactly the same person going out. And like I said, the only one that wouldn't is Ron Paul, but even they're going to start toning down his message. Again, his anti-interventionist attitude towards Afghanistan and Iraq is actually part of a greater no standing armies, liberal, we need to, libertarian rather, you know, we need to shrink. There should be no federal government.
Government of any kind. No Social Security, no Medicare, no
they
Department of Education,
believe.
No Army, no nothing.
No stop signs. No.
No stop signs. No, no traffic
federal,
lights.
No.
No public health.
That
no.
The federal highway system, the highway system that links this country together, that makes interstate commerce actually possible.
Well, that's unconstitutional.
Should be left up to the states to manage 100%, meaning that if Iowa just decides it wants to divert money because it's already gone through its employees' pension and welfare.
Yeah.
Systems.
You have to drive around Iowa.
Is not a bad idea to start with. But
Hal Sparks, you were so good today.
Commerce.
Yes.
I got you a gift. Trey in Tennessee is back. Hi, Trey.
Oh, nice. Oh, he had one. Good. Cool.
Yep. Hi, Trey. Bring it.
Y'all thought I was kicking it out on you, but I'm at a job and I'm on a break and I got to get right back.
But, but that was the best Leslie joke ever, by the way.
It wouldn't have taken so long if you professional interrupters would have kept you all mouthed up.
Oh, sorry.
Are we supposed to get our mouth shut while your 8-minute setup
out, but I think you wanted it from me. I think you wanted it from me in the manly way. But I got to get.
No, actually, I referenced the exact opposite because you said I'll get to you eventually.
Y'all have a good day. Y'all bleeding heart liberals. Have a good day. I got to get back to work.
Oh, okay. What do you do? What do you do? What kind of job?
He doesn't do anything. He's pretending to have a job. That's the whole point of it.
I got to go because I got
nothing to say, so I got to pretend. I'll be right there. Yeah, sorry, boss. I got to go to the mailbox and get
Here's a flaming bag of dog poo.
Yeah, right.
Wow, bleeding heart liberals. I haven't heard that in a while.
Heart
liberals.
I think you wanted me in
the manly way.
Dude, I was on Queer as Folk for 6 years. If you think that's going to make me flinch. Really? Really? That's your swing for the fences? You called back for that. I'll get him right in the homophobic bone. Sorry, dude. That's you. That's what.
Right.
That's what your buddy friends say to you to make you nervous and uncomfortable.
Because you call him a homo.
Yeah. I got to say,
I called him a queer boy and then ran away.
Okay, I got
with
to
a,
say
with a slight chub.
I got to say we are.
Because that's the only kind I get.
We are happy, clappy liberals. We are avowed Obama apologists.
Touch me. I'm sorry, bleeding heart liberals. Hug me, please.
But I have got to say. I'm feeling good about America today. Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, but not just the disaster that is the Republican field. I think things are going our way. And here's one reason I believe in America this morning. Kim Kardashian is being replaced by a tiny dog in the Skechers Super Bowl ad this year. The company will have a tiny dog with shoes on a racing pack of greyhounds. And if we could replace every Kardashian with a tiny dog in running shoes.
That's it, yes. You'd have a dog in every Kardashian.
We'd be on our way.
First of all, okay. I think the best program is to no longer mention, say, the K word.
Mm-hmm.
Pointless people doing pointless things. It's funny that we've actually gotten into this situation where you got a Mitt Romney who's literally a let them eat cake kind of a candidate.
Yes.
And yet a lot of what's on TV is let them watch me eat cake. You know what I mean? They have that.
Yeah.
You know, we got people watching cooking shows while eating Cheetos going, that guy doesn't know anything about fish. And that's, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And that's who called in, by the way.
Yes.
Man, you know, I don't know a thing about it. I gotta go.
Thank you for all the emails about enjoying my latest Crazy Cat Lady video that we have just, you sent it to everybody on our email list. However, Chris, I'm clearly sending out the wrong videos. David Hasselhoff thinks the leaked footage of him being drunk was good for his career.
Oh.
I could just take a tape any night if I knew that's all you have to do. I can get on the kitchen floor and eat a hamburger.
That's actually a hack.
You do that every night.
And if the cats are in it, fine. If they're not, whatever.
He was basically doing a Stephanie Miller impersonation, essentially.
Thank you, Hal.
Eating a burger, laying on the floor, half barfing.
Shirtless.
That's how Hal finds me every time it's time to go to the airport after Sexy Liberal.
Yeah, okay.
All right, get up. Come on. Car's here.
Leave the burger
off.
It's all right.
All right, HalSparks.com is the Hal Sparks
at Hal Sparks on Twitter, of course. And, follow.
SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Philadelphia up next February 4th with the Sexy Liberals. See you next Wednesday.
Exciting.
I love you.
Yes.
Goodbye, Al.
You too.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.